for prayer, and we will begin. Let's pray. Dear Father, we do come before you this afternoon. Lord, we thank you for the time. We thank you for the Word of God and for the understanding that you've given to us. And we thank you for the privilege to be a part of the house of God. Lord, I pray that you'll make us to be faithful to be here, faithful to serve with all of our life, all around the community, wherever we go, and faithful to build up one another. But not just faithful to be here, but faithful to be godly, holy, focused upon you and allowing you to have complete control of our lives, and that we might have a good testimony of Christ. Father, we thank you for our church where we can come and learn about you and learn about how we can effectively minister to people, the heart of our pastor to instruct us so that we can share with people what they need to know so that they can be saved and have assurance. We appreciate that and thank you for it and pray that the training that we get, that we will put into practice in our daily life. We thank you for the time now, and we ask your blessing on it in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, the book of Acts is such a fabulous book to help us understand where we are and where we fit into God's plan. And we've seen that, just by way of a quick review, that before the world began, God knew what he was going to be doing. Before the world began, God knew that ultimately what he would have is a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, and that God would live forever with people there, people that chose redemption, people that were willing to turn from sin and give their lives over to the Lord and walk in fellowship with God. That's been God's plan from eternity past. But also, because that was God's plan, God knew that human beings would need to be redeemed, which meant that their sins would have to be paid for so that they could be released from the punishment of sin, released to be given a new heart, to be born again, and to be thus fitted to be in the presence of God forever. In other words, to be saved. And God knew that was the need from eternity past. And the Lord planned from eternity past that Christ would come into the world in the fullness of time, as it says in Galatians chapter 4, at the time that would be just right, the best time for most people to be saved. So Christ came, and he came to the nation that had agreed that they would be the witnesses of the truth of God, that they would follow his commandments and his precepts, and that they would be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And they had agreed to that, but whenever the time came for the Lord to come in the flesh and give his life, well, he came to his own, and his own received him not. They would not have him to rule over them. They rejected his righteousness. They rejected his rule, his authority, and they executed him. Well, the Lord knew that was going to happen, and in preparation for that, he established a new institution of witness, which is the church. And he built that new institution of the church on those men that were his disciples. And he taught them, he trained them, he showed them how they were supposed to live, and explained to them the different kinds of relationships they were to have and what it was that they were supposed to teach and preach. And then after he was executed, crucified, then he rose from the dead, commissioned them to go into all the world, and then he went to heaven with the promise that he was going to return to bring in his kingdom. And we have seen that the Lord empowered that institution. And now what we're seeing is that the Lord wants to include Gentiles in his new institution in the church. And wow, there was opposition to that. And last time that we got together, we saw how the Lord convinced Peter that Gentiles were supposed to be brought into the house of witness, into the church. And the Lord had to give Peter a vision, not once, but three times, to convince him that the Lord was going to do something different. And those whom Peter viewed as being common and unclean, God was actually going to bring in to the house of God. So Peter went and preached to Cornelius, a Gentile, and preached to him the gospel so that Cornelius could hear how to be saved. And we see that in Peter's message here in the book of Acts chapter 10. Peter concludes his message by saying in verse 42, "And he commanded us to preach," Acts chapter 10, verse 42, "and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it was he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." So Peter preached to them how to have their sins forgiven through Christ. And then we saw the Holy Spirit come down on these people. Now the Lord had prepared Peter for that event with the vision. But now Peter's going to go back home to the church in Jerusalem. And he's going to have to face the music of his fellow Jewish Christians who were thinking that Gentiles are unclean. The Lord has established a new institution here, and it's a Jewish institution. Everybody in it so far has been Jewish, and that's just the way it's going to be from the day of Pentecost. Whenever Peter preached on that day, he was preaching to Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. So every place they've gone, they've been preaching to the Jews. And as far as they're concerned, the Gentiles are just dogs, and that's how they grew up, and thinking that about Gentiles. So Gentiles don't have anything to do with this. But then, chapter 11. "And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, Thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and didst eat with them." So these men of the circumcision are contending with Peter. Now these men of the circumcision were incredibly powerful and influential in the early church. And that makes sense because they've been preaching to folks in Jerusalem, preaching to Jews that are from out of every nation under heaven, and their background is very strong. Their background is that they are the covenant people, and it's their responsibility to keep all of God's laws, that circumcision is just the initiation rite to become a Jew, and then you're obligated to keep the law, the dietary laws, the laws of clothing, the laws of all of the festivals and holidays. You're supposed to go to the temple and all of those things, plus all of the oral traditions, all of the teachings about how to apply that, like how many steps can you take on the Sabbath day, and if you have chickens, how many eggs can you gather without working, because you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath day. I think they had it figured out, 6. You could gather 6, but any more than 6 and you're working on the Sabbath day. So they had lots of rules and regulations that were a part of them, a part of their thinking, a part of their life. And one of the things that was contrary to their rules and regulations is that you cannot even eat with a Gentile. Well, the scripture doesn't teach that, but that was one of their traditions. And this is who they were. And so when they heard that Peter had actually gone in and had dinner with Cornelius and those at his house, they were offended and they contended with him, because now Peter is going against everything that they stand for personally. Yes, they have believed in Christ, but they've got to maintain their Jewish identity and their Jewish rules and regulations for life. It's really important for us to understand their mentality. I want to ask you to come with me to the book of Acts, chapter 21. In Acts chapter 21, these folks are still around, and they're still coming on strongly. Acts chapter 21. In Acts chapter 21, the Apostle Paul has been out on his missionary journeys, and now he's returned to Jerusalem. And look what it says here in Acts chapter 21, verse 18. Well, verse 17, I'm sorry. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. Okay, here we are at Jerusalem, the church at Jerusalem. All the elders are present. When he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are zealous of the law. That's what we're up against in Jerusalem. They believe, but they're zealous of the law. Of course, the whole book of Hebrews was written to help disconnect them from their commitment to the law and to reconnect them to Christ as the fulfillment of all of that. But here they are. Now Peter is going to give them the response. They have contended with him. And now let's go back to Acts chapter 11 and see Peter's response to them as they're arguing with him. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descend as it had been a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. Upon the which, when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered, and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. And the voice answered me again from heaven, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. Here's an extra piece of information that we didn't get in chapter 10. There were six people that went with Peter to go see Cornelius. In chapter 10, it just says certain brethren. So here we go. There were six of them, six brethren. Okay, now these six brethren would have been people that had been with the church at Jerusalem. Who knows? Maybe Silas was one of them that was in that group. But anyway, these were six men from the church at Jerusalem that went with Peter to go to the house of Cornelius. Verse 13, And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send to Joppa, call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Now that's some information that we didn't have in the last chapter also, isn't it? The Lord sent Peter to Cornelius specifically to tell him how to be saved. And so Peter went. That's what Cornelius was wanting to know. How can I be saved? The scripture tells us he was a devout man and that he prayed always and all of those things. But, you know, it's really possible for devout people to be unsaved, isn't it? In fact, we saw that in Acts chapter 2. There on the day of Pentecost, the scripture tells us there were devout men, Jews out of every nation under heaven, but they were lost. Devout but lost. Then they needed to know how to be saved. And that's where Cornelius the Gentile was. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I that the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Okay, let's stop right there. So let's go back to Acts chapter 1. We don't get this information in chapter 10, do we, as we're reading the account there about what happened with Cornelius. But now we're finding out what was in Peter's mind. So whenever Peter saw these brethren there in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius in his house, when he saw that they were speaking in tongues and magnifying the Lord, Peter's mind went right back to what the Lord had told them. So come with me to Acts chapter 1, verse 4. It says, about talking about Jesus, it says, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you've heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Peter remembered that very message that the Lord had given to them. And then they asked him, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said, it's not for you to know. And then in verse 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So they were baptized with the Holy Ghost, and they were empowered. They received power to carry out their witness together. Verse back to Acts chapter 11, verse 15. As I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. So now these Gentiles at Cornelius' house in Caesarea, they've received the same baptism of the Holy Ghost, that Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that they would receive power associated with that. Verse 17, for as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? And of course, by what he's talking about there, how could I withstand empowerment and we're speaking with tongues? What was Peter's immediate response to him? Peter, even though he had had the vision, Peter may not have preached the whole thing unto them and invited them to baptism. But so the Lord made sure that Peter was going to invite them to be baptized. He empowered them first. And Peter said, okay, these guys need to be baptized. 18. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, the teaching of the Lord that Gentiles could not be saved. Acts chapter 10. Of course. Let's see. How about Abraham? Abraham was saved before he was circumcised, before there was any covenant with Moses. Yes. The wise men who came seeking the king of the Jews. And so the scripture is full, Jonah, of Gentiles who were saved. But this shows the mentality, this interpretation on the part of those who were of the circumcision. Remember, we're talking about they of the circumcision. No, the Gentiles could have been saved. What the Lord was actually doing was show. Verse 19. And we're going to do a little backtracking here, but let's look here at verses 19 through 21. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen. Okay, we're going back. This is a reference to Acts chapter 8, isn't it? And Antioch, the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. So after this, Gentiles, and the hand of the Lord was with them, the Jews are not the only ones receiving the message. And of course, that's where we are today. That's where we are today. Where we are today is the word being spoken to the Grecians, spoken to the Gentiles, preaching the Lord Jesus, the hand of the Lord with them, a great number believing and turning unto the Lord. So we're in the midst of that movement at this time. 22. And now what we're going to see is that Antioch, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the apostles at Jerusalem, the church at Jerusalem. But now we're going to see a shift from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then tidings of these things came to the ears of the church that was in Jerusalem. That is, that people were preaching to the Gentiles all over the place. And of course, what they're going to want to do is make sure everything is done, that everything is set in order, that things are being done the way they should be done. And they as he's going, he's making sure that things are in order regarding church. And he's gone to Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God and full of the Holy Ghost in order there in Antioch, then had left Jerusalem because there was a plot to kill him. And so Barnabas and Tarsus were to seek Saul. And when he had much people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Now that's a significant statement, isn't it? They were first called Christians. That was an association that they would be called Christians. That was a name that was called to those Gentile entity. It's also noteworthy Antioch was a huge city at this time. I'm sorry I didn't refresh my information on that, but my memory is that it has over 100,000 people were living in Antioch. It was one of the major cities of the Romans. Little Christ, a bunch of little Christ running around. And what a tremendous, you know, that's really in that word, not the way it's used today, but in the way that it was used there, that's really quite a just like Jesus. And also I want you to notice it says the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. It doesn't say believers, nothing wrong with believers, but it says disciples, those who were seeking to live out what the Lord taught them, those that were learning the truths of the Lord, and those that were following them, and those that were living it out, those the ones that people could look at and see. They looked at them and they saw, oh, these are like little Christ. These are little replicas of Christ running around. And that's where the name Christian came from. Unfortunately, that term doesn't apply to most of the people that take that name today. But what a wonderful name that it was there. Verse 27. So what we've seen is that Barnabas came to set things in order there in Antioch. He went and got Saul. That's no little thing, is it? Because starting in chapter 13, Saul's going to become the prominent person in the rest of the book of Acts. And then they were first called Christians there. And then finally we see not only is Antioch prominent, but Antioch is actually going to turn and benefit and bless the church at Jerusalem. Let's continue. In those days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus. Now we're going to see Agabus a little bit later in the book of Acts. Agabus is going to deliver a prophecy to Paul, who's the apostle Paul at that time. But here he is delivering a prophecy to the church at Antioch there. There stood up one of them named Agabus and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth or a great drought throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. And that's historically verifiable that there was a famine in those days. And of course, famine is a shortage of food due to a shortage of rain, a lack of rain, a lack of crops. People are hungry and in need of food. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did. They determined to do it. They did it and sent it by to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas and Saul, trustworthy leadership there in the church that was at Antioch. And it's noteworthy that after they carried out that ministry, they return to Antioch. Antioch becomes the home church of Barnabas and Saul, as we're going to see. Well, let's bow for prayer, and then we'll have time for our panel. Again, dear Father, we come to you. We want to thank you, Lord. Thank you that we have the privilege to be in the stream of what's going on here in the book of Acts, that Christ established the church. It has shifted into a mode to reach out to Gentiles, and now it's a predominantly Gentile institution. And we have the privilege to be a part of that right here in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Father, I pray you'll help us to realize the great privilege and to be faithful to you in it, faithful in our lives and faithful in our testimony. We ask your blessing now on the remainder of our time with the panel, and also the remainder of all of our services this evening. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. We're glad you joined us for our services here at Mission Boulevard Baptist Church. We look forward to having you join us again online, but you are always welcome to personally attend any of our services at the Mission Boulevard Baptist Church here in Fayetteville, Arkansas.